This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Help me welcome live to the program author Norman Cantor. He's a distinguished professor emeritus at Rutgers Law School, an expert on constitutional law and bioethics. His most recent book is After We Die. What becomes of the human cadaver, the life and times of the human cadaver? Norman, it's an honor to welcome you to the program. How are you, sir?
I'm very happy to be with you this evening.
So tell me, why a book on human cadavers? What's this about?
Well, I'd been writing for years about the handling of dying medical patients, and this was sort of the likely sequel. I had always wondered about the fate of human remains, and also the rights, the questions of who controls the fate of human remains, what the options are. There were a few incidents that really stimulated my curiosity. My own stepbrother died, and he was a flamboyant lawyer who wanted a New Orleans-style funeral in Trenton, New Jersey, and that meant the Dixieland band at the wake in the funeral home and a procession, and that prompted a lot of controversy within my family, and that started my thinking about who really controls, and if that's what the deceased wanted, is that what has to be done? Later, the Ted Williams story. When Ted Williams died, there was another major controversy about what his wishes were and how they should be implemented. Anna Nicole Smith in 2007. All these incidents prompted my curiosity about the legal bounds applicable to human remains.
We're talking with author Norman Cantor. The new book is After We Die, The Life and Times of the Human Cadaver. So based on your research, are we? If you write a living will and you say, this is what I want done with my body, which I think only about 1 out of 5 people do, can you legally determine exactly what's done with your body, or do other factors come into play that could change that, even though you may have said what you wanted done with yourself?
I think in the vast majority of states, if you express your wishes about what you want done with your remains, the law says that those wishes are supposed to be upheld. Of course, there are some limitations. You can't dictate something that's enormously expensive unless you've provided for that expense. You can't expect your descendants to bear unreasonable expense. There's also a question of what would be too undignified or disrespectful to human remains for you to get your wishes implemented. I don't think that there are a lot of limitations, but certainly something like necrophilia, you wanted sexual postmortem sexual contact, forget about it. Same thing with having people ingest your remains, even if you thought it was going to have some medicinal effect and be useful to your survivors, that's just too disrespectful. It's too much like cannibalism.
Yeah. The new book is After We Die, The Life and Times of the Human Cadaver. Let me ask you this. I'm curious, the strangest request that you've ever seen for someone who is left a living will and has told what they want done with their body after they die. What's the strangest request you've seen?
Well, I've seen a few that are pretty strange. I know of two where the deceased wanted his corpse skinned or partially skinned and the surface tanned and used as binding in a book of his verse. He was a poet in one instance, and in the second instance wanted the tan skin made into a drum with a patriotic message to be displayed and the drum pounded on the 4th of July.
That's amazing. God, and I guess if the money is there and you have a mortuary willing to comply, that this will happen.
Well, you raise an important catch. You say that you need cooperation, and that's right. You may have a right to have your wishes implemented, but once you're dead, you're not well situated to enforce those rights, and you're dependent on sympathetic survivors to see that those wishes are implemented. And having a mortuary or a mortician who's willing to undertake that kind of handling of the corpse is an important condition.
Yeah. We are talking with Norman Cantor. He's a professor emeritus at Rutgers Law School, and his new book is After We Die, The Life and Times of the Human Cadaver. Hey, Norman, if you don't leave a living will and you don't have family around to say exactly what you want done with your body, where does it end up? Where could it end up?
Well, it could end up in a number of different places. If you really don't have any family who or friends who are available to take possession and dispose of the remains, generally it would be disposed of by the state, by a governmental agency in what used to be called potter's fields, in other words, areas of cemeteries designated for people who have essentially been abandoned. There are also statutes on the books that say that abandoned corpses can be turned over to medical school, for example, for use in an anatomy class. A number of states still have that kind of statute. And there are a few states that say if there's reason for an autopsy and the medical examiner decides to perform an autopsy for designated reasons, some kind of mystery or unknown cause of death, for example, those statutes leave the medical examiner some leeway to at least harvest corneas or other tissue to be transplanted in live people.
Yeah. We're talking with Norman Cantor. The new book is After We Die. Are we seeing a lot more people requesting to have their bodies cremated? Isn't that becoming more common?
Very definitely. That is, I guess you could call it the wave of the future. And in fact, in the western United States, in states like Washington and Oregon, for example, majority of cadavers are now disposed of by cremation rather than burial. And in the rest of the United States, the percentage of people being cremated is increasing. And I think that within a couple of decades, the majority of people will be disposed of by cremation. But one of the things that the book does is talk about a variety of other options besides burial and cremation that are at least available to people. I'm talking about plastination. I'm talking about mummification. I'm talking about sea burial. I'm talking about cryonics, freezing. I just want people to be aware of the various options and the physical consequences of each of those options.
Wow, good stuff. The book is After We Die, The Life and Times of the Human Cadaver. Author Norman Cantor is a distinguished professor emeritus at Rutgers Law School. Norman, it's great to meet you, and congratulations on the book.
Thanks very much.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.